Yes. We're not even going to read that section of the scripture, but I'm referencing it. And I last spoke in the church in January, so it's been almost 3 months if you'd count weeks. It's 11 weeks since I last spoke, and in 11 weeks, can you guys believe how much has changed in the world? It's amazing. But one thing that doesn't change at all, and that is God's faithfulness and His word is true. It doesn't change. And before we get into the study about peace and the storm, and I want to remind you and show you an example of what I'm talking about, how God's word doesn't change, because what I spoke on back in January was Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to refer to a few verses there that we talked on. It's just to remind you, if you weren't there, the message, you could look on our website, and you'll see Romans 8 just a few sermons ago, and it was, it's almost as if that was like divine providence that God taught that. And I say almost because I know that God is on the throne all the time. But what we looked at in January, or what I looked at with the church, was Romans chapter 8. And I focused on several verses, and my purpose in that study was to gain a proper perspective on how to deal with tribulation, or how to deal with the everyday problems that we all go through in life. And like I said, today, that would seem almost prophetic, that if you heard that message and if you listened with me, because there is tribulation now all over the world. And, you know, it's nothing that we would like, but, you know, all those songs Josh sang are true, because my hope is not in this world. My hope is in Jesus Christ and nothing less. And so I wanted to look at just these three verses that I touched on in Romans 8. You don't need to go there. If you can't see this through your phone or through your laptop or wherever you're looking, you can go ahead and look them up. I'm going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. That was one of the verses that I looked at with everybody. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 18, before we even looked at that scripture, I asked, are the lives of the children of God without difficulty or tribulation? What's the answer to that? No, they are not. We are not exempt from problems. We are not exempt from difficulties and tribulations. And so when I read Romans 8:18, listen to what Paul says. He says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I put my own commentary there. Do not let your current circumstances make you forget your future hope. Because we are pilgrims here. The children of God, we are passing through. This is not the final destination. And so, you know, that's encouraging to me, and I hope to you guys also. And then on the next slide, Andres, Romans 8:28. It's another verse that I focused in on, and there's a question there. It says, so how should a child of God perceive the difficulties of everyday life? And in Romans 8:28, again, Paul speaking to the Romans, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And you know, I know that's a difficult verse. All things work together for good. Doesn't say all things are good. It says all things work together for good to those, not to everybody, but to those who are called according to his purpose. And so in my commentary down below that, and it just says, we don't need to know why God has allowed our circumstances. You really don't need to know why. In fact, Job asked why, and he never got the answer. He never got an answer. But what he did come to the realization is that God is God, and I am not, and I just need to deal with that. And so we don't need to know why God has allowed our circumstances, but we do need to know who God is. And we do need to know what God says about our circumstances and about our situation. That's what we need to know. And that's what I'm going to look at with you guys today. And so one more verse in Romans chapter 8 was Romans 8:38. So if you guys get the pattern there, it's 8:18, 8:28, 8:38. But in Romans 8:38, and I'm asking you guys now again, and I asked then, do you still have doubts? Or are you still not convinced that God is in control? Because you really shouldn't. If you trust God, if you know God, you know he's in control. And Romans 8:38 and 39, I don't have commentary about it. Let me just read what it says. Paul says, I am persuaded, and I'm telling you, because I read these verses and this is me. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, including the coronavirus, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing in creation that can separate you from the love of God if you are in Christ Jesus. That's where you need to be. And so, I just wanted to review those with you, because today we find ourselves in a global crisis unlike any other in history. And you know, I'm speaking to the youth. You know, usually as a parent or as grandparents, we tell our kids things and we say, well, you know, this is, I've been through this, and we've all been. The fact is that we haven't been through anything like this before. As parents, as adults, this is all new to us. So even the youth, you guys are in the same boat, and literally we are all in the same boat together right now. And so we are on a learning curve, if you will. But the title of the message, and if you put it up there for me, the next screen is Peace in the Storm. And we actually read that. It was Luke 8, I think, is where we read. I didn't intend for that to be. I didn't know the reading today, but that's what we read. And peace in the storm, you know. Why are you fearful? Have you no faith? Because you could read that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You could read that account in all three, and you'll get the gist of what Jesus is saying there. But today, the world's population is in a state of extreme fear and literally bordering on panic. You can see that when you go to the market and different things. There's empty shelves. I mean, that's because people are panicking. And why are we panicking? Because there is an invisible virus that is sometimes fatal. Now, I'm not trying to diminish what's going on. I am not a scientist and I'm not a doctor, and many people much smarter than me and having more information are telling us that this is what we need to do. So I'm just trying to give you my perspective. But, you know, this is affecting everybody. And on a personal level, I can just tell you, my youngest daughter lives in New York, just outside of New York City. And I was there a year ago, and I wouldn't go there today, but she's there. And guess what? My daughter has asthma. So she's one of the people who's most prone to getting really sick from this and possibly dying. That does not give me a lot of comfort. But my son-in-law, thank God, won't let her go outside. And my other daughter, you guys may know, she's a critical care nurse. So guess what she's doing? She's actually dealing with patients who have this virus, and she has to, that's her job. And somebody's got to do it, right? I used to get to see her all the time, and now I can't see her at all, and I can't see my grandchildren because they are quarantining themselves, and rightfully so. And our own church, you know, we have an empty church. Our family of the church can't meet together because we're quarantined as a state. We're being told not to do any gathering of more than 10 people if it's not necessary, and we're abiding by that. And my own business and many people have lost their job. They're out of work. There's a lot of uncertainty, and there's, you know, basically our economy is coming to almost a stop. And you know, I just told you those things about me. Obviously, this isn't about me. You know, this is affecting everybody. And, you know, there are millions of people in our country and literally billions of people around the world who are directly affected by this pandemic and the efforts to stop it. And, you know, governments and people all around the world are making drastic decisions to change our lives, hoping to escape the threat of death from this virus. That's really what people are concerned with. And, you know, the nations of the world are at a fever pitch trying to find a vaccine or some treatments to cure this disease. And, you know, I think about that, and you know, we literally are praying for that, but there are people now who are praying, God help us, who've never prayed to God before. And in any situation, I would tell you, always turn to God. You want to know, you want to be where He is, because that is where your protection will come from. And I don't mean protection from the disease, and we'll look at that, because, you know, when people are crying out to God, you know, it can be a good thing, but people are often mistaken. And you know, speaking of a cure, last week, if you were tuning in or if you look at the message from last week with Pastor Rodolfo, he looked at a short section of Matthew chapter 12. And when we read chapter 12, there was the account of Jesus healing a man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And, you know, I don't know if it was a setup or not, but the Pharisees wanted to use that situation to trap Jesus. And actually, after he did this healing, it says that he came out, left the synagogue, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders plotted how they could destroy Jesus. That was their reaction. But on the other hand, lots of people started following Jesus, and Jesus separated himself from there. And we're going to look at separation and how Jesus causes division. And so it was, speaking of the cure, you know, when we read in that part, it said that Jesus led, Jesus separated, and many followed him, and it said he cured them all. Wow. And that's an incredible thing. And you know, people are crying out, God, help us. And I think, you know, that's legitimate. But what do you want to be saved from? That's my question. Because we know that with God, all things are possible. Is that, you know, the scriptures say that. Jesus talked about a camel going through the eye of a needle. And he said, that's impossible for men. But with God, all things are possible. And, you know, we don't know. And I'll just leave that alone, but I want to look at what Pastor Rudy pointed out, and it was really important. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 16, hopefully it'll come up on the screen here, but in Matthew chapter 12, verse 16, immediately after Jesus had healed all those who followed him, what does it say? Matthew, I have it up on the board, but if you can't see, let me just tell you what Matthew 12, 16 says. It says, yet he warned them not to make him known. And I'm glad Pastor Rudy pointed out that Jesus can physically heal all people, right? But he did not come to the world for that purpose. And so, like I said, if people are crying out to God right now and saying, God, you know, save me, help me, it's legitimate. And God can do that, but God didn't come to save you physically. He didn't come to save you from, you know, disease. And I wrote down here, and I hope you can see it there, but I wrote down, he did not come to the world for the purpose of saving people physically. Jesus does not want anyone to seek him for their own personal pleasure or comfort. That is extremely important. And you have to know why Jesus came. And it wasn't to save you from pain and discomfort here on earth. And I'm going to restate, because Pastor Rudy put it so clearly, and he said, look, I want to make a serious point, and I'm going to make the same point. I want you guys to understand, putting your faith in Jesus as your Savior and trusting Him as the Lord of your life, or being born again, what we talk about, what being born again spiritually, is in no way a guarantee that you will escape the current illness that the world is facing, or any other illness or disease or accident or harm that this world can bring about. This world is in a fallen state. This is not God's final destination for us. And so, if I didn't make it clear, let me make it real clear to you right now. I want you to understand very clearly, Jesus came to save us from our sin. He did not come to save us from our circumstances. Now, I am glad if you are looking at to God and turn to Him for your circumstances, because that's exactly what brought me to the Lord. I had terrible circumstances and I came to God, but what I found out is that God didn't care about my circumstances. God is not interested in saving me from my circumstances so that I can end up in hell. God is interested in saving me from hell, and then my circumstances are really no problem. That's where it is. That's where we should be. So, let me just tell you right now, if your only concern is with your existence here on earth, then you are woefully ignorant of the unending suffering that lies ahead in eternity. And I don't know, you know, if that's willful, if you just choose not to believe that, or if you are uninformed, maybe you didn't know that, but I'm trying to clear that up for you right now. Because right now, most people's fear today is driven by the thought, well, what could be possibly worse than death? You know, people say that. What could possibly be worse than death? Well, I want to share with you what the scriptures say and what Jesus said. In fact, if you can go to the next slide at Matthew 10:28, look in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. There is a verse there, and I'll read it for you guys. It says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Whoa. So there's, you know, some information there. And I want you guys to understand, in Matthew 10, right there where that is, if you start at the beginning of Matthew 10, Jesus is actually sending out his disciples with power to cast out demons and to heal people of all sicknesses and diseases. And you know, it's like they have this power, but that wasn't the purpose. He told them, when you go out, you tell these people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. But Jesus told his disciples, they're not going to hear you, because they were only going to the people of Israel, and the people of Israel were blinded to who Jesus was. And again, that's why I said, you know, if you have a willful ignorance, or if you are just, you don't know what I'm telling you, I am telling you that there is more to this life than what's here. And when you die, that is not the end of your conscious existence. And so Jesus was showing his disciples that physical problems, maladies, illnesses, or you know, blindness or deaf, or you know, all the things that can happen, physical problems including death, are only a temporal problem. They're only in time, they're only here and now. And what he said there, fear the one who can cast soul and body in hell, that's a spiritual problem, because that is eternal. And that's what he was making a point to his disciples there. And again, I just keep referring, today everybody's terrified about getting this virus. Why? Because it could kill you, right? We know that. We know it's killed many people. But I want you to understand, 100% of the human race is infected with sin. All people are infected with sin, which has as its consequence a 100% death rate spiritually. 100%. There's nobody who's going to escape that. And so how do you deal with that? You know, that's the important thing. And I put up a second verse there. I don't know if you can see it. It's kind of dull. But Hebrews 10, 30 and 31, you don't need to go there. I'll just read it for you. But it's a short verse. But I put it next to Matthew 10, 28, because it gives you, it emphasizes what is being said there in Matthew 10, 28. In Hebrews 10, 30 and 31, it says, "The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now, I have no fear of the Lord in the sense of being afraid, because I fear the Lord in the sense of I trust him and I respect him and I honor him with my life. I've made that choice to follow Jesus like the others did. They all were healed because they followed him. And so my point in giving this to you guys is that judgment and wrath are what the unrepentant sinner will receive from God for all eternity. And I hope that that does not give you peace. I hope that you are disturbed by that fact, because it is a fact of life that if you die in your sins, you will eternally suffer apart from God. It's hard for me to say that, but on the flip side, I know that God doesn't want anybody. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and receive the gift of eternal life that he wants you to have. You know, most people today are only concerned, and rightfully so, with the fact that they may die. And I think that's okay. You know, I don't have a death wish. But to be honest with you, death for me is gain. It's a good thing, because I know where I'm going. I know who I belong to. But, you know, people who are only concerned with their life here and now are not giving thought to their eternal well-being. And I know that God is only concerned with your eternal well-being. God's not really worried about my job or my health or and I don't want you guys to get confused. I know that God cares about all those things, but if I don't have salvation, none of that matters. But when I do have salvation, then God takes charge of everything, and I can rest. And so I want you guys to understand that what we're looking at here, in this crisis, I don't want you to look to God just to be saved for the time being. And let me show you something on the next slide. If you look at Matthew 10:34, if you're just listening or you want to look in your Bible, Matthew 10:34, Jesus puts it very clearly, super clearly. In Matthew 10:34, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth." So if you're looking for peace from the situation and you want it here on earth, guess what? He did not come to bring peace on earth. He said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And you touched on that. Because when we were looking last week, Pastor Rodolfo pointed out very clearly that Jesus separated. He causes separation. He causes division. You have to make a choice. Do you want to follow Jesus, or do you want to follow the world? Do you want the things that this life can offer you, or do you want the life that God offers you? It's a clear division, and that's why he says he causes division even between father and daughter, from mother and son, from son-in-law. It causes division because people have to make that choice, and they say, "No, I don't believe that." Well, if you don't believe that, then you know we're not brother and sister. That's why Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Those who do the will of my Father." That's what he said, and so Jesus brings that division, and in the current global crisis, people fear for their physical lives, right? That's what they're really worried about, their physical lives. And I just want to make clear to you guys, I have no assurance to give you about your physical life. None whatsoever. And so if you go to the next slide, I mean, what was the name of the study I gave you guys today? Peace in the Storm. So you may be thinking, oh, great. So Peace in the Storm. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for nothing. You know, we're in the middle of this storm and this crisis. So what have you got to offer? You just said, I have no assurance. And that's true. But peace, we need to define peace, because there's peace in the world, which, you know, when you talk about peace on earth or peace in the Middle East, or people talk about that, and they think, you know, in the world, peace is a lack of conflict or no trouble or no problems. But the peace of God is totally unrelated to your present circumstances, completely unrelated to your present circumstances, because the peace of God is not the circumstances. The peace of God is that you can rest in knowing who you belong to, that you can rest in God and knowing that He has you, that you belong to Him, and that no matter what happens, that He has you in the palm of His hand. And I just thought about Lazarus. You know, Lazarus was 4 days in the grave, and Jesus just said, hey, Lazarus, come out, and woo. How did that happen? I don't know. But that's the power of God. And so peace in the world's eyes is one thing, but peace of God is a totally different thing, because the child of God can enjoy peace, can be at rest in the worst of situations, because he trusts that God is in control. And that reading that you read in Luke 8, you know, they were terrified because of the situation they were in. The circumstances were bad. You can't deny that. This was a bad storm. Things were not looking good. And the question that Jesus asks, he says, why are you fearful? Where's your faith? And answer that question, because you can say, I'm fearful because there's a storm. But he says, okay, but where's your faith? Why don't you trust me? But what I want you guys to understand, and especially people who don't know what it means to be born again, is that peace of God and the peace that God gives is a fruit of the Spirit. When you have the Spirit of God living in you, then you have joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and all those things that only come from the Spirit of God, and they are not tied to your circumstances. Thank God. And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I put this message here. And I, like I said, I didn't intend to read. Thank God, you know, that was the reading today. So we did understand what the storm was and what Jesus said. And I would recommend you guys look at the rest of those verses and you know, make the comparison between Matthew, Mark, and Luke of that event. But I do want to go on about the peace that we can have as believers, as children of God. You can have peace in this storm. And so I'm going to share with you four verses. And the first one is John 14. We'll go two verses in John. And while you're looking up John chapter 14, we're going to look at that and one other verse in John. Excuse me. But I want to remind you, because we're almost to Easter, and God knows if we'll be able to be meeting here at Easter time. But Easter is such a beautiful time when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that we have. Because Jesus can bring you back from the dead. That's our hope. But in the section of the Gospel of John from 13 to 17, you read that, and you should. In fact, I'll give you homework. Read John 13 through 17 all the way to to 18. You can read those five verses, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, chapters. Good thing he's clarified that for me. But when you read those, that's the account of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. And John's version of it is the longest that we have, and that gives a lot of detail. And you can get other details from Matthew and Mark and Luke. But this was the Last Supper that Jesus was going to have with his disciples before he went to suffer the punishment for the sins of all mankind. And that night, Jesus told him a lot of great things. And he told him, you know, some incredible stuff. But as he was telling them, he said over and over again, you're not going to be able to understand what I'm telling you right now. You don't know what you're not getting it. And he told them because he knew that after he rose from the dead and after they received the Spirit of God, that then they would understand and be able to see clearly what he was talking about. And you know, thank God that John was able to record and put all those words down for us. But Jesus also, in those five verses or five chapters, he also tells them things that do not line up with the way that they see things. He told them, look, guys, I'm going to be, he said, I'm going to die and I'll rise again. But all they heard was, I'm going to die. He also told them, one of you guys here, one of you 12, is going to betray me. He told Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight. In fact, all of you guys are going to scatter and run away and abandon me. And they're like, what? This totally did not line up with their understanding of the Messiah. They were looking at the Messiah much like people look at political figures. That he's going to take the position and he's going to turn around the city and he'll, you know... Unfortunately, that's how the disciples were looking at Jesus. I can guarantee you they did not understand that he was God incarnate at that point. They did not understand that. They had seen him, you know, calm the sea, and they even asked themselves, who is this? Who is this who can, you know, speak to the waves and the wind? How does that work? They didn't understand yet. They would. In that context is where I want you guys to understand these verses that I'm sharing with you. In that context where Jesus is telling them about his finality, actually not finality, but his impending crucifixion. And John 14:27, it says, it's up there for you guys, but it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And actually, that's all that the poor disciples were, was troubled and afraid of what he was saying. But look at those words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And so when he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When the Bible speaks of the heart in that context, what it's talking about is your emotions, how you feel about things. And your heart is literally the center of your emotions. And naturally, our emotions are fearful in crisis situations. It's natural. There are chemical reactions and things that happen. But what Jesus is telling us is that we can dominate or overrule our emotions. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Well, he's saying you, as a child of God and with my Spirit, have the ability to take every thought captive. You don't have to be led by that. And that is only possible if you have the Spirit of God and exercise faith in him. Because even for believers, you know, I'm not going to say I'm just whistling Dixie and I'm, you know, floating along on clouds. No, I have my concerns. I shared with you things in my personal life. But A lack of faith leads to doubt. When you start doubting, you become anxious. And when you become anxious, it's a vicious circle. And so Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Go to the next verse there, which is John 16:33. If you will look in your Bibles there, John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, I remind you, this is in the context of everything that he's told them. And they're like, no, this doesn't make any sense, Jesus. And he says, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. And then look what he says. In the world you will have tribulation. And boy, do we have it now. In the world you will have tribulation. But then he says, look at the next words. But be of good cheer. You need not be all worried and concerned. Be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. The things that you are facing right now, the things that you are worried about in your own life, if they're in God's hands, you are safe. That's one of the songs Josh sang was, no weapon formed against me shall stand. Nothing. And that doesn't mean that you won't physically die. And like I said, there's no guarantee against that. But you know where you will be because you belong to God. And so peace is not the absence of a problem. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Peace that Jesus is talking about here is rest. That you can rest in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, in this verse, is telling us, trust him in the tribulation. And that's what he told the disciples. You know, why are you afraid? Now, the storm was there. But their faith in him was not. They didn't realize who was there in the boat with them. And that's why they said, well, who is this who can calm the storms? God can take care of everything. Amen. He is in control. And that gives me peace. That is the thing that causes me to rest. And so, two more verses I'll give you guys. Philippians 4, chapter 6 and 7. We quote this all the time. Gloria, probably you heard this at Frank's funeral. And it's all the time we read this verse. But I really want you guys to let it sink in to what is being said there. Because Paul is giving us a perspective that is abnormal. Be anxious for nothing. How can you say that? And that's what I'm trying to tell you, because I am concerned for my children. I am concerned for my mom, for my mother-in-law. I'm concerned for a lot of things. And God isn't saying that you just, you know, that you tune out and you don't exist. But I don't need to be anxious for those things. I belong to God. And if God takes me home, praise God. If God leaves me here, praise God. Whatever God wants, I'm in his hands. But Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says this. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's the key. Because my mind and my heart are racing around right now. I can tell you, if I sit there and I think about my daughters and I think about the situation, I could go crazy, literally. My heart, like I said, is the center of my emotions. And when it talks about my mind, you know, guard your heart and mind, that's my intellect, that's my reason. My mind and my heart want to convince me to do something. They want to control my behavior. But when I surrender my will to God, the peace of God, which surpasses, surpasses, is saying it's above, it is far beyond my understanding. And it will guard or it'll protect me from the enemy. It'll protect my heart and my mind, because the enemy wants you to doubt God. The enemy wants you to question God. When Peter called out to Jesus, and he said, well, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to, you know, come out to the water, walk on the water with you. And Jesus said, come on, bring it on. And Peter, when he had his focus on Jesus, he was like, okay, I can do it. And he starts walking, and immediately he's like, okay. But then he starts looking at the waves around him. And as soon as he took his eyes off Christ, phew, sank in the water. And let me just ask you guys, are there reasons to be fearful in this life? Always. There will always be problems. In this life, you will have tribulation. Can we have peace in spite of our fears? Well, according to what Jesus said and according to the Word of God that Paul recorded, yeah, we can. Because our peace is directly tied to what we are focused on. And so I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. I only have a couple minutes here, but let me ask you some questions. And I hope you guys think about this. Think about these questions. I want you to, you can answer if you want. Are you God's child? Yes, I can definitely say that. Does God love you? Yes. Will God ever abandon you? Absolutely not. Will God finish what he started in you? Yes. He promises. Do God's plans for you include a future and a hope? Oh, yes. Are the plans of God for you only good? They are. God's plans for you are only good. Not everything you go through is good. But God's plans for you are only good. Always? They're always good. You can take that to the bank. Now, in Luke chapter 8, when we read, Jesus told his disciples, well, I don't know if it was in Luke, but I know in one of the versions it says, Jesus told him, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. That's what he said. He said, let's go to the other side of the lake. And it was that big storm that caused his disciples to focus on their situation and forget what Jesus had said. They forgot the word of God. And you know, as we read that, we know that they didn't understand who he was, because they said, who is this? But they focused on their situation. And that's why when Jesus got up and they woke him up and he's like, hey, why are you fearful? Where's your faith? And I'm just going to, I'll end. I have one more verse for you. But let me ask you a couple other questions. Because will I always understand what God is doing? You are not. In fact, the majority of the time, you will not understand why God has permitted what you are facing. And like I told you before, it's not necessary that you know. It's necessary that you belong to God. That's what's necessary. And that you trust him with your life. And will I always like what God is allowing in this life? Definitely not. Death is a part of life. And it's certainly not something that we enjoy. And the death and the experience of the people of death when Lazarus died caused Jesus to weep. It broke his heart, because death is not God's plan. But God even can conquer death, has conquered death. And that's what, you know, I'm trying to get you guys to understand. If you die from coronavirus, well, if you belong to God, guess what? That death has no power over you. Absolutely not. So the question, the last question I'll give to you guys, can you trust God? Do you trust God? Because that's what he asks you. And that is where you will find peace. That, in fact, go to the last slide, if you will, Andres. Isaiah 26:3. You guys can look it up. Short verse, super powerful. Isaiah 26:3. Because I've tried to get you guys to understand, what are you focused on? If you're focused only on this life, and you're focused only on getting through the next day, and this is all you think about, you don't understand what God has created you for. God has created you for an eternity with him. That is why he created you. And so if you only focus on this life, you're spending all your time. It's like you're on a train and you're on a destination and you're not paying attention that your destination is the final point, and all you care about is looking out the window and seeing what's going by. God has your destination to be with him for all eternity. So Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That is where your peace is going to come from. And that is what I want you guys to grasp. That is what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about peace. I'm not talking about the storm. Jesus might calm the storm. He might not. He might heal you. He might not. But God isn't concerned with these temporal, worldly circumstances. God is concerned with your eternity. Amen. That's what he wants. And so this verse, who is it that keeps you peaceful? God. God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is fixed on him, because you trust him. You don't trust what you see. You don't trust what's going on around you. You don't trust, you don't have your hope in President Trump and the check that's on the way. That's not what we're counting on. And I've been speaking to you as believers. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I have been born again. I know I am a child of God. And so I have that peace that I've been talking to you about. I cannot wait to be in the presence of God for all eternity. And I can't wait to leave this world behind. But I have to wait. Right? We're all here. God hasn't called me home. Frank is enjoying, you know, the presence of the Lord. I'm envious of Frank, but I am here, and so while I am here and while I wait, I will trust in him, and as I trust in him, he will give me peace. And I'm just going to close. You can come on up, Josh, but if you do not know what I'm talking about being a child of God and having that spirit of God dwelling in you, then you need to make that step first. If you realize that you are a sinner separated from God and that your destiny, your final destination is eternal torment, God doesn't want you on that train. He wants to take you away from there and put you on a totally new destination. Change the track of where you headed. And all he says is, you just need to believe what I've done and trust. That's what faith is. And so if you are not born again, you have no peace. And you can have that peace today. Right now, and I'm just going to say a short prayer. It's just my words, but if this is your heart, God will save you not only from current trouble, but from eternal problems. And so let me just pray for those of you who haven't made that prayer. Father, I'm glad that you've showed me that I am a sinner. I I know that you sent Jesus to this earth to die for my sins. And I know that I am a sinner, and I want to give my life to you. I want to be in your hands. I want to be in Jesus Christ. I want to stop living for me and for my purposes, and I want what you offer me, a life of peace and a life of joy and a love that will never end. And so, God, I come to you and I give you all that I am in surrender, and I ask you to fulfill that promise, God, to come live in me, that the Father and the Son and the Spirit would reside in me, and that you would take me out of this world and place me into your kingdom. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.